Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the U Up podcast, coming at you live from Las Vegas. Which, by the way, I've been struggling with how to say Vegas. I've been teased, not teased, but people have called out that I say Las Vegas weird. I usually just say Vegas, and I guess you're supposed to say Vegas. But I think I'm saying it right. It's just like it's been mispronounced. I fucking hate myself right now. It's been mispronounced by the masses so egregiously that we've just accepted that it's Vegas. But it really is Vegas if you say it the way it's spelled. Anyway, I'm in Las Vegas. I'm outside in a cabana. I'm trying to get away from like the loud noise, but there's just no escaping it here. And I don't really want to be in my hotel room right now because that just feels depressing. And you'd be able to hear the bass through the wall. I mean, it's so loud. So I'm at the hotel pool. Emil Joachim is my opener, and Andrew Collin, they're playing ping pong right now. But I thought I'd just like get a little sound check started to see if this is too loud and like, you know, record by myself. I'm in a little cabana and no one's kicked me out yet, and I'm wondering if I can even smoke pot in here. I think I could get away with anything in this little cabana. Usually you have to rent these, but I gotta tell you, the hotel I'm staying at, it's nice and my room is great. And I'm playing Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club here at Caesars. I'm not at Caesars, but I'm in a different hotel. But I'm at Jimmy Kimmel's new comedy club in Las Vegas. I have to think about it every time I say it now. And it's just a great club. And in terms of like green room, you guys know what I care about. Green room, people taking care of me. That's about it. I just care about like that they have my rider, which if you don't know what a rider is, it's what celebrities and people on tour request to be backstage for them. I didn't have a rider for the first, 14 years of my career. And then the past 2 years I've been able to request, like, I don't have a crazy one. There's like, apparently, I think Mike Epps, maybe it's Mike Epps. It's one of like the, a prominent black comedian, I think it's Mike Epps, has like, you need to get him new sneakers every week, and then he donates them to like, or auctions them off or something. But still, a club has to go like find him sneakers. So I don't really feel bad asking a club to provide a veggie tray for me. But people sometimes go, you're a diva because you have a fucking rider. It's just like a lot of comedians don't have riders and they don't understand that they could. And so I get, you know, skinny pop for Andrew. I get kind bars for Andrew because he always wants to snack as soon as he gets there, as do I. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This club takes care of me and it feels great. I just want to be taken care of. You guys get it. So I'm a single lady in a cabana right now. It's 11 a.m. here in Vegas, so things are just starting to pop off. I did morning TV today at a local Fox affiliate station. You guys get it. I've said that a lot. Do you guys get it? I don't know. I'm just assuming. That's pretty presumptuous of me. Do you get what my experience is? But they picked us up in a limo to drive us home. It was pretty sweet. Did the TV station. I mean, it was a good interview. I tend to just take those over because the person is always like, you know, it's Friday. They're done with their week. They don't really want to do an in-depth interview. They don't know who I am. They got a one sheet with some facts about me, but I know what it's like to interview celebrities, and sometimes you don't know anything about them and they're just coming in. And so this guy knew little to nothing about me, and I just railroaded it and took over, and it was super fun. Guess who's walking up to the cabana? The cabana boys. Hello, Andrew Collin and Emil Joachim just joined us. How's it going?
It's good. Out here in Vegas, 104 degrees, but it's 135 degrees in my panties, if you know what I mean.
Why are you wearing panties? I mean, that's
Vegas, baby.
All right. Okay. Emil, how are you doing? You guys were just playing ping pong?
Playing a game of ping pong. I tried to peer pressure Andrew into taking his shirt off. He didn't do it yet, but I think I got...
What's holding you back?
My nipples.
Is that seriously what's holding you back? I thought you were over that.
You think until you get into the sun where it's really bright. And
who are you worried about seeing your nipples? Just, what's your worst case scenario for if you took your shirt off and your nipples, your puffy nipples that you can do nothing about, are exposed to the sunlight? What's going to happen? Worst case scenario.
The DJ stops the music and everyone points and goes, "Oh, look at fucking Puffs over there."
Okay, so that's never going to happen. But what truly is like what your fear is?
I don't know. It's just it's like PTSD. I've had got made fun of my nipples when I was younger, and
you say PTSD really weird.
Do I?
Say it again.
PTSD.
PTSD. You say it like it's an Italian last name.
Yes. It's not.
PTSD. It, you know, it reminds me of. Do you ever hear that story of Joe List, comedian Joe List? Excuse me. Comedian Joe List was doing a show, and the MC asked him like, "Hey, what's your last name?" He goes, "List, List, L-I-S-T, List, L-I-S-T." And the guy goes, "Okay, got it." So he brought him on stage. He goes, "Keep it going for your next comedian, Joe List, L-I-S-T." He thought it was his name. So that's how you say PTSD. PTSD.
PTSD. Como te vas? It's a Jack.
Emil, do you have any body insecurities of which you can relate to Andrew?
Yeah, taking the shirt off for sure is just hairiness, but I thought he...
But your shirt was off immediately.
No, it was because it was so hot, though. That's, it was just temperature. It wasn't like, yeah, I want to be like outside.
I went for a run yesterday before we left for Las Vegas, and I was running along the Hudson, which is my West Side Highway, which is my daily route. If you ever want to celebrity stalk me, I run 4 miles up in there every day. But you won't even catch me because I'm so goddamn fast. Anyway, I was running, and I just saw all these guys shirtless running, and a couple girls in their sports bras, but most of the time girls are wearing shirts. And I just said, fuck it. And I took my shirt off, and it made me run so much faster because I was, like, and suck in, so I had better posture, I think.
You're more rapeable.
What?
You're more rapeable.
I mean, it was during the day, so I didn't feel rapeable.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Thank you for saying that I could be rapeable any time of day. You know, as a woman, sometimes you go, am I only rapeable at night? And no. You just...
Prime hour, 2 p.m. to 3, broad daylight.
Oh, this was a 10 a.m. run.
Even better.
Oh, whoa, morning rape. Oh, God.
Morning wood.
Sorry if you've been raped and this is triggering for you. I'm not saying that flippantly. I truly do apologize. Should have done a trigger warning.
You don't wear a bikini that often.
I hate wearing a bikini. I was just going to talk about it before you guys got over here. Like, I just can't. I look fucking great, but I, and because I work hard to look good, but I don't like looking good. I don't like, if I was then sudden, I don't want men to look at me like a sex object. And I know that I don't look that good, that it's going to be like, yeah, everyone's popping boners everywhere. But when you're in a bikini, the dynamic, I've been in bikinis with my guy friends, and it just changes. It's not like you guys are turned on, but it's just like I get weirder, you get weirder. I just don't like to be exposed in that way. Whenever I've gone in a swimsuit, even in front of my dad, I feel weird in a swimsuit. I just feel, it's like being naked. There's no difference than me being in my underwear than me being in a bikini. Actually, my underwear cover more than my bikini. And by the way, I don't even have a bikini. I'm borrowing one from Carlisle Forrester, Queen of Squirt Nation, who lent me one from San Diego months ago, and I never returned it to her. That girl over there is putting sunblock on the bottoms of her feet, which is an interesting choice. What do you guys think about, like, when you have a girlfriend that you're hanging out with, and all of a sudden you go to a pool party and you see, like, side boob? Like, isn't that kind of distracting and kind of, like, weird for you?
Well, I do think bikini bottoms on girls, you could literally see everything. You could see their vagina. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, as a woman, I think it's crazy that, I mean, in Europe, guys wear Speedos a lot. But in America, whatever, we wear, like, these long-ass baggy, we get it so easy.
Yeah.
So as a woman, I don't know. Yeah, if I was a woman, I'd wear, like, board shorts. Like, little, like, hot board shorts. And I'd wear, like, a bikini top.
But that's not what bothers me is the bottom. Like, who cares? Like, my vagina... I don't think you can see vaginas as much as you think you can. It's more like the boobs out. It's just everything. It's just you're naked, and it's acceptable. And I'm grateful for it, and I love girls that can flaunt it. I'm just bad at it.
It's weird that if you're wearing, like, a bra in public, people would be like, she's wearing... That's... inappropriate, but a swimsuit is the same shape of it.
It's, my ex-boyfriend always said it's the biggest ruse that, like, men ever made for women is to just be like, hey, you guys should wear this swimming. They just, like, invented a bikini, and then they're like, oh, now we get to see you in underwear all the time. And it's like, we're just like, oh, yeah, okay. And we, honestly, girls love to display their bodies when they look good, so it gives us an excuse to, like, show off, but if I were alone here, I would 100% wear a swimsuit. But, like, with guy friends, I just can't do it. I can't do it. It's really hard for me to do.
We should have to wear Speedos as guys, as, like, the equalizer to show shit. Like, and then if you're wearing long shorts, that just shows, like, oh, he has a tiny dick.
Yes, that should be. Yeah. That's so true.
Girls have to work hard to wear bikinis, and they're nervous about it. But guys are like, I don't care. So we should have to be, like, flaunt it.
And there's always this moment when you're a girl when you like decide to go like, okay, I'm gonna like drop trow and like go in my swimsuit. It's so awkward. It's much easier to change in a bathroom and then walk out and already be in a swimsuit. But like when you come out in a sundress, you have to like take your dress off and it just looks so, I don't know if I'm the only one. Maybe some girls are listening to this and feeling the same way. Do you guys feel that way? Like,
that's how I feel about my nipples. So why do you come at me about my nipples?
Because I thought you are someone that gets naked all the time. Your stomach's always hanging out, and it doesn't look good. Like, your stomach that you push out is not an attractive stomach, and we can all agree on that. So, like, you lean into other things that are, like, funny and unattractive about yourself, but that one you can't.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
But I'm not someone who's, like, a body comic that, like, puts my body out there as, like, a joke. But you seem to make fun of your body a lot.
Yeah. That's how I take ownership of it. But if I'm, like, at a pool, I wouldn't want to keep my shirt. Like, I could take my shirt off, dance, and then put it back on. You know what I mean? And I can control my nipples that way, like, how hard they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Over a five-second window, I got real solid control over the nips.
Have you looked into, like, something that would permanently make your nipples hard? Have you, like, Googled it?
I've looked into dry ice, hard ice, all the ice.
Yeah.
And just moving to a colder weather.
Does the ice at the border, do those get your nipples hard?
Gets my cock hard.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have you thought about just hiring a little like Filipino boy to walk by and flick them at all times?
Why does he have to be Filipino, Emil?
He doesn't have to be Filipino, but he has to be Filipino.
Yeah. And yes, I have, but they are more expensive than ice.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think about this pool situation? I've been saying that, like, I was just about to tell my listeners.
This is why people drink. This is why people drink at a pool. You get fucked up. You get, like, if you put two pina coladas in me, big boys, I'd be showing my nips all day.
That's true. Oh, my God. When I drank, like, I didn't care what I looked like in a swimsuit. It's not even that I'm like, oh, my God, my body is gross. I just don't want. It just, no one's going to listen to what I say if I'm in my underwear talking to you. Like, you don't listen. You can listen, but it's like, she's wearing her tits out, her tits out, her tits out. That's why I don't wear things with cleavage. I want men to take me seriously. Not seriously, because when I see girls with cleavage, I'm like, I want to be clear. I'm like in awe of them. And I'm like, wow, she gets whatever she wants. She doesn't care. But when I have my cleavage out, I just feel like. And I guess there's a part of it, too, that if I don't give the attention I want, then I'm like, oh, well, that whole thing that I've built in my head isn't even true. So I'd rather just not even know. I don't know. But, like, when there is a girl walking around with intense cleavage, like, do you have to come, when you're talking to her, and are you thinking, don't look at her tits, don't look at her tits? Okay, Emil is nodding his hand.
100% of the time.
Okay, so doesn't that make it either? You could hear what she's saying and you could have that conversation, but isn't it going to take a little bit away from your side of the conversation?
Yeah, and it's she'll get anything she wants. Like any argument she has, I'll just be like agreeing with it, and then I'll walk away and be like, I'm an idiot. Why did
Because you weren't listening.
No.
Because you can't listen.
And I want her to like me. I'm just like, ugh, boobs. Like, we're such dumb.
Well, let's talk about even if it's an unattractive girl. Let's say it's an unattractive girl, but there are huge tits out. Aren't you still being like, don't look at her tits? Because tits, don't they just draw the eye?
Yeah, if they're nice enough tits. Like, there has to be a level of the niceness of tits versus how unattractive she might. Like, it has to balance out. Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from listening to her. If anything, I might listen more if she has better tits.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I will definitely, like, remember more things she said. In general.
I'm talking about in the conversation you're having. Yeah. Aren't you a little bit... Let's say you were just as interested in this girl without her tits out. Like, she was just as fascinating to you, but she has her boobs out. Okay, let's say you're talking to Natalie Portman, okay? And Natalie Portman's wearing a turtleneck, or Natalie Portman is wearing a bustier with her tits out. Are you going to absorb more from the conversation with her if she's wearing a turtleneck or if she's wearing a bustier? And be honest, like, if you're trying to have an intelligent conversation and really show who you are and actually listen and be a supportive conversationalist, wouldn't the tits out make that go the other way?
Honestly, no. I think if tits were out, I would focus more. Like, I zone out in most conversations, but the tits would be like, it'd be like Adderall. Like, I would be more focused in than...
Interesting. Okay, so my theory is the wheels are falling off this.
I mean, I wouldn't. I think it all depends on the part. But I think if Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can plug your phone in. We have a visitor, and he's plugging his phone in.
If I met Natalie Portman and it was like revealing of my tits, like, here are my tits, let's have a conversation. Or if she was just sitting there already and her tits were, like, tits kind of, they don't wear off, but if you're talking to a girl, the first like 2 minutes you're like, tits, tits, tits. And then after 10 minutes you don't even recognize the tits anymore.
Right.
Which I don't know what we're hoping for. Like, if we're like, maybe one will fall out. That's why we're so attentive. But because it's the same image. This cleavage is the same. But I think we're just like, maybe we'll get more. So that's why we pay attention.
Like, that girl this morning had great tits. I was on TV with you today.
Yeah, but her cleavage wasn't out.
Yeah, but you could see. I mean, you could see her body. I mean, she looked great.
Yeah.
And it made me care about her art more.
No, you didn't. That is so funny. No, you I fucking totally say did. That, dude.
I did, dude. I'm telling you. I swear to you. I was like, oh,
okay,
my God.
Okay, so just to catch you guys up, we were at a morning TV show, and in the green room was a girl that was also appearing on the show and to promote some art that she had. She was doing art. She had some cool art, but she was doing an art show here, and she's from LA. Super hot chick, big boobs, tiny waist, tan, great outfit. Great makeup, full hair and makeup, looked fantastic. And she had some art. And it's so funny that you say you were more interested in her art, because legit, her art was in the room and they were talking about which posters to show during her segment. And then that guy left, the producer left with the art. And Andrew goes, so what's your art like? And I'm like, he didn't even notice that right 3 feet in front of him, all of her art was displayed.
True.
You were being I crazy. Agree with you there.
But so don't tell me you enjoyed her art. You enjoyed the theory of her art because you were trying to show interest in her because she was hot, but you didn't actually look at her fucking art.
Not true. I didn't know that was her art, and I never even saw the art. It had nothing to do with maybe her beauty was taken away from the
art
that
was in the room,
but I didn't know it was her art. If I knew it was her art, I would really dig into it. I'd be like, wow, look at the contours. Look, oh, what is that, Van Goghism?
I think you played it cool, because I would have played that card too, because I knew it was her art. But when you ask, then you got to be like, is that like, what do you do? What's your art? Like, you have to act like, oh, I have no
it's
idea.
It's so funny to me, because this girl, I got to be honest, like, didn't have a great personality. Hold on. This girl did not have a great personality. Did that not matter?
It wasn't bad. She was very nice for how attractive she was. She was very open when she was talking about her Insta story about having this girl. She was like, I don't like this girl. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Like,
oh, yeah, she was open and like, open. Yeah, chatty. Okay, maybe but she did have a good personality.
When you're on stage and you look better, do you think people are paying attention more?
No, they're more distracted and they don't listen to me as much and I don't get as good of laughs. I swear to God. Do you if dressing more attractive made me get more laughs, I would do it. I'm a comedian. I work every angle I can get to get more laughs. But it doesn't. Women look you up and down because they're worried that their guy is going to laugh too hard at you and want to fuck, and that means they want to fuck you. And not every woman, but this is a common thing that a girl, if you're dressed too sexy, the guy isn't going to laugh because he's worried that if he laughs too hard, he's going to get into a fight with his girlfriend later because she's like, well, you wanted to fuck her or whatever. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. Girls, if they're just girls alone, they're looking at your outfit up and down. I mean, I'm just saying this from a girl perspective. When a girl walks on stage and she's super stylish or super sexy, I'm looking at her body up and down. I'm going, why can't I look like that? I'm just judging it too much. Whereas if you go up and you're not showing much skin, people have the tendency to listen to you more.
Yeah, I don't know. If it was that girl this morning.
I wish it wasn't that way. I wish we could do whatever we wanted, but that's just what my feeling.
I don't know. I feel like you are like right on the cusp of like, you're obviously attractive, but, like, you play it in a way where it doesn't take over your like, your jokes. But I feel like that girl this morning with what she was wearing and, like, how done up and, like, whatever, it would be maybe tougher for her to get laughs without.
Yes, of course it would be. Of course it would be. But I do dress up when I do, like, tapings and stuff, and I've learned that, you know, my Comedy Central Presents I did in 2012, and I wore a short dress. I had my legs out. I had high heels. I mean, I looked really super sexy. And it just doesn't.
You've gone viral, though, looking insanely hot on, like, on Conan and shit. Where
right.
You look as good as you can look.
Right.
So that defeats your purpose. If people don't. You think they're just going there because they think you look attractive?
Let me just say that TV is different than than live shows. Live shows, I'm not kidding you. When you're dressed, I was dressed hot last night, and I struggled during. Yeah. I struggled more during my set because my stomach was showing, and because I had a crop top on and tight white jeans. I swear to God, it's a different vibe. I felt it last night, and I was like, noted, you can't wear this outfit again.
You're a weird crowd, though.
Do you think it's, like, different, though? Because you said you don't show a lot of skin, which is true. I think there's a difference between, like, looking beautiful and then doing the sexy route of, like, tits pushed up and all that. I think you get different reactions.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think beautiful and looking pretty is always fine, and people can kind of, like, take that and not feel as threatened by that. But when you, when you're showing too much skin, it's just like, it's distracting to both men and women. I mean, I don't know where this conversation's going, but I mean, it's a real thing. And I love that you said that you love that girl's art when it was literally right in front of you, but you were so distracted by talking to her that you didn't see the humongous portraits literally 2 feet from your head.
I saw the art in her.
That's beautiful.
Jackpot.
Has she slid into your DMs yet? You didn't get a chance to like even.
She had a boyfriend. She said that.
I didn't lose interest as soon as she said she had a boyfriend.
What was that again?
I totally lost interest as soon as she said she had a boyfriend. I was like, her art's not shit. Whatever.
I mean, it's girls. Are you listening to this? That's why I don't even want to get a boyfriend. Is because guys don't even want to like talk to you if they don't think that there's a small chance they can fuck you. As if having a boyfriend prevents.
We're great friends, and I've never wanted to fuck you.
I'm not talking about you, Andrew. I'm talking about as the masses.
The masses.
It's like Emil just said. You both said as soon as she said.
That's also because we didn't have a connection, like personality-wise. If she was great and she was really obviously, I would respect her. And like, I'd be friends with her also. But because we were both just like, she's so hot, then she's like, I have a boyfriend. We were like,
does anyone notice what happened here? Remember when I presented that maybe she didn't have a great personality and they go both go, no, she was great. And then I just said, and then they go, well, if she had a better personality, we would have cared about her. So no, I think I just won.
Said that. I loved her personality. I loved everything about you. And if you're listening right now, girl with art about UFC fighters, hit me up. I'm at the link.
Yeah, you just gave away our hotel. I mean, yeah, try to come find us. I dare you. I saw some guy talking about one of your serves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I walked by and some old guy was like, hey, look at this guy's serve. He's getting ready to wind up. And then I didn't stay long enough to hear him ridicule you.
I don't know if he was ridiculing. Maybe he said it was, I don't know, interesting.
Who won?
We didn't. The ball wasn't good enough. The table wasn't good enough to play a real game.
I won. I for sure won. No, I'm kidding. We didn't keep track.
What happens is like when you play basketball on like when it's windy out and there's like and it's outside and there's no net, you don't even want to really even play. And that's how it is with ping pong. If you don't have a solid ball, solid air control, solid table, solid paddles.
Oh, I'm solidly bored by this.
There's gonna be some ping pong heads that get it.
You know how weirdly
ping pong heads?
Yeah, there's a lot of pong faces. Jackpot.
A jackpot. We've also become obsessed with the phrase jackpot on this trip. Because I am the new voice of Blind Date on Bravo. Remember the show Blind Date? Well, it's coming back to Bravo, and I'm the voice of it. And last week, Emil and Andrew went with me to the recording of it. And there was one line where I go, on this week's Blind Date, on this week's show, we have a Blind Date, a jackpot. And Andrew thought it was funny the way I said that, and then we just started saying jackpot, and it's been so funny to me.
My favorite word now. I mean, just feel it. Really feel it out there, okay, folks. Yeah. Ready? Jackpot!
Just say it to yourself. Jackpot. Jackpot. Jackpot.
Jackpot.
It's just a great little punctuation. Ugh, I love it. I should have said it in my special because I'm trying to name my special right now, and Jackpot would be a great name for my special.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'm going to open with it tonight. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go, what's up, Vegas? Jackpot!
Yeah, you can. I tossed it in today. Emil caught it. It's on my story, on my Instagram story. I said jackpot during my TV interview. I snuck it in. So let's spread the jackpot awareness. Say it as much as you can this weekend. Really lean into it. I hope everyone had a good 4th of July.
Film yourself doing it.
And then tag our podcast at UUPSXM is the podcast. Turn your friends onto the podcast. Let's get into the podcast or get into the radio show this week. It was a doozy. We only had 3 days in studio because of July 4th. But Monday show. We had Ian Fidance and Gavin Matz in studio. Ian came in hot. I had to scold him a couple times during this entire show because he just... He was too jokey. He was stepping on my punchlines. He was stepping on my stories. And I said, you gotta back off. It got almost awkward because I was like, Ian, stop it.
Was I on the show?
No, you weren't on the show, Andrew. But it was, I had to scold him. He's just too funny sometimes. Which, by the way, check out a new cartoon that some fan made us at Cartuna, C-A-R-T-U-N-A Comics, at Cartuna Radio. No, it's at Cartuna Radio. We posted it on the UFSXM Instagram, which you should give it a follow. But they took a segment from our show and made a cartoon to it, and it's so funny, and they did such a great job, and go check that out. But anyway, Ian was in, and he tried to repeat a bit that he did on the show the week before, and he didn't realize, and I called him out on it. So that's that. This is us, me, Ian Finance, and Gavin Matz. And I was a little testy on Monday, I gotta admit. I take the blame for that. I'm a little testy a lot of days.
When the girl comes, that's when I'm like, oh, now I'm gonna now I'm gonna go.
The problem is though, when a girl comes, it can keep going. When a guy comes, everything. Let's time night night. It's not fair.
My girlfriend has unlocked some sort of thing in me where I'm making noises I've never made in my entire life before.
You did this bit last time.
What?
Yeah, on the show. Yeah, you did.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding you.
It's not a bit.
No, you actually told me this last time you were on the show, but you can repeat it.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
What'd I say?
Where you go, you did an example. Yes, you did.
Oh, my God.
But it's not for not mentioning again. Yeah. So what do you say?
Is it more worked out now?
Do you have more tags?
Yeah, you tag it.
Give it to us again. Let me see if I can predict where this is going.
So, you know, sometimes when I have sex, it's like, whoa. And then other times it's like, hoo.
Yep, that was it. And then remember when I said that sometimes I speak in tongues and I don't even know what I'm saying?
And then I said,
oh my God, 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 oh my God. That's like mine, where I go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I can't even do it now because I'm not doing it. But when I'm coming, I say, oh my God, rapid fire. And then I say, I cover my eyes like this because I don't want to be seen. It's all coming back. The listener thinks they're hearing a repeat right now. And we're live. It's July 1st. Don't forget.
Wow, I can't believe you didn't add the tag that she used.
Yeah.
Well, I think the new tag is I'm like Dana Barrett in Ghostbusters. I'm like, there is no Dana, only Zool.
Well, if I understood
I'm
weaving. Tag at all.
Yeah.
Are you weaving? Weaving and swam.
Okay, door swam shut.
Yeah, it's I will never tire of talking about sex because it is so complicated and it is such an...
Oh, I got a book for you then.
What?
This book.
What is it?
The Surrender.
She's just walking around with
it. It's about anal.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's all about anal?
Mm-hmm. It's about a woman's experience with anal and how it unlocked a life inside
of
her.
Are you just kidding?
It's a memoir.
It is a memoir.
It does say that on the side.
You...
An exotic memoir.
It's about a ballerina who succumbed to anal and found God through...
Is it erotic, though? Are you getting turned on while you read it?
It's like funny, erotic. It's great.
Is it meant to be erotic, though? Is it meant to read and like girls who are into that kind of thing would jerk off to it, maybe?
No, I don't know, but it's very funny and like interesting, and she brings up a lot of good points and interesting things.
Dude,
about...
a girl came to the show this past weekend, and I met her after at my meet and greet, and she goes... and I get this a lot where it's like, usually people write to me that they've tried anal because of my Netflix special or like it got me to be open to it. Yeah, you said that your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I get that all the time. Oh, look at that. He's opening the book and yep.
Oh, it's a key.
Timmy's back in here. Shut that book. Timmy walked back in. Timmy, go to the drawer.
Did you get that at the bookstore and open it? And you're like, yes.
The first
line.
Yeah,
where did you get that?
His was first in my ass.
Oh my God.
Attell gave it to me.
Oh, Attell did?
Yeah, he's like, there's a book I think you'd like.
Wow, Attell has read that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You guys are into the same thing then.
I love anal.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and I just learned something about Attell too.
Well, so do you.
I know.
You should read this book.
I'm going to.
The truth always shows itself with the ass.
Will you just do the audio book for me?
A cock and an ass is a cock and an ass operates like the arrow on a lie detector test. The ass doesn't know how to lie. It can't lie. It hurts physically if you lie. The pussy, on the other hand, can lie at the mere entry of a dick in the room.
What?
Yeah, because you can act like it feels good, but when you hurt in your ass, you're like, stop.
Oh, right. So it does it. It's the ultimate lie detector test. Okay.
Interesting, right?
I've never done anal.
You haven't?
Yeah, but that's just because I think people I've been with, they haven't been enthusiastic about
right.
it.
Right. You need so enthusiastic.
Then it's like, if someone's not like...
I feel the same way.
I don't know. They're like, if you want to, then I don't want to.
Yeah, and you're obviously not enthusiastic about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could be.
Yes.
I mean,
but it's
I
not
feel
something
like
that
I could
you've
get worked
always...
up for anything.
Oh, really?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Well, you're just there to please.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to please a woman, having a cock in her ass really gives a woman focus.
Wow, just pulling quotes.
Okay.
Yeah.
any line you're reading actually is pretty decent.
Right?
Okay.
Receptivity becomes activity, not passivity.
Oh, my God.
You
is that
apply,
a textbook?
You can apply this to life.
I know. You really could. I believe, Gavin, when you say that... you could be enthusiastic about it, or like no one's been like. I feel like I was Ian.
Sorry.
Present.
Sorry.
Stop looking through a book.
He loves the book.
Enter the exit. Paradise awaits.
That's what it says. Gosh. Enter the exit.
See, it's funny.
Okay, that is funny.
Right?
It is funny. We're back. That was Monday's show. We're still in the cabana. Andrew just we're in the cabana. Janet. Getting napkins, Janet, in the cabana. Does he say cabana? Does Chris D'Elia say cabana in that rap? We're referencing Chris D'Elia's impression of Eminem, which has turned into like a career for him. I mean, he did one impression on Twitter, I think, or Instagram, and Eminem put him in a song, and now he's in the newest Eminem music video. But Andrew, what did you just say? You leaned back and you kind of like exasperatedly said something to yourself right before I pressed record.
So I was not an alcoholic, but a binge drinker in my 20s, early 30s, and yesterday. And no, I haven't drank in like 7 or 8 months. And I'm sober here in Vegas, and I really enjoy it. Every other time I've been to Vegas, I've been a fucking disaster. One time I threw up in every hotel as like a joke to myself and my one friend. And then we were laying. I remember we got kicked out of our hotel, and we were laying outside. And like we realized that you can go from looking like a normal human to being on a park bench to once you lay down, you look homeless and scary. Like, all depending on how...
How you're sitting.
Yeah.
And how we, you're... Yeah, you're
and we
perched.
Realized, like, we were just these, like... By 5 days in Vegas, you just turn into a fucking zombie. Yeah. We were disgusting. And you'd be at the Vegas airport, and you'd be in line, and you would think you're going to die. Like, there are times people are throwing up, people are... There's nothing worse than coming back. Did you ever do Vegas?
You know what? There was a comedian, and I won't say his name, but he was so hungover on his flight back from Las Vegas that he they had to do an emergency landing because he started like hyperventilating, like shaking and like having. He was so dehydrated that he just whatever dehydration started kicking in hard. An emergency landing, $15,000 fee, fine for having to have the plane land to rescue him.
What if, couldn't he have said it was just a biological thing?
You still have to pay for it. I mean, like, if you call an ambulance, even if you have an emergency, you have to pay for the ambulance.
That's insane. So, and it takes a while for a plane to land, so everyone's like, really?
Oh, everyone was probably
so
annoyed.
I'd be so embarrassed.
I mean, that's your nightmare.
Oh, my God, to die on a plane?
Well, he didn't die, but also, like, what? You'd want to die. You want to live through that and see the embarrassment of it?
Oh, God.
But let me just say, that's the worst case scenario, and that guy told me that story at a baseball game where he is fine now, everything's okay, and he survived, so who cares? In the end, it's a good old story. I mean, you have one of the saddest stories I've ever heard of Las Vegas. Do you want to share it real quick?
I mean, the quick version is I ended up, I came out to Vegas, I was living in L.A., I was 22, I didn't want to go into my rent, my buddy came out, he had $3,000, he lost it all the first night, I ended up going into my rent money, and then I ended up winning somehow $7,000, and then I got a free suite, my buddy left. I spent all the money at a strip club. I was there for over a day. A stripper was like, oh, why are you still here? And I was like, what? She goes, it's my second shift. I spent every dollar, and then I went back to the hotel, and I ended up getting a hooker. And
you can't even say it.
I know. It feels like the more sober and older I get, the more like I'm embarrassed I get of saying it. But I did get a hooker, two of them. And I came within less than 30 seconds, and they laughed at me and took my money. And then I went home.
Which was rightfully theirs.
Yes.
They didn't steal from you.
They didn't steal from me. But I thought I got an hour. They gave me about 3.5 minutes. And 2 of those minutes were laughing at me.
Oh, my God.
And then I ended up driving. Oh, I ended up having like $300 left to my name, $500 more in the rent. And I was like, you know what? I'll just play a little bit more blackjack, and then I'll head back to L.A. And I lost everything except for like $85, which I used for gas. And I was literally crying driving back to L.A. through the canyons of fucking – it was insane.
Oh, man, that is so sad. That's worse than emergency landing,
no,
for
but
sure.
But I'm by myself. At least.
Oh my God! That's so sad. God.
But now on Sober Vegas, bro, I'm just living it. We almost got virgin pina coladas. We were like, "Fuck this! We're gonna get some virgins," and they were $16. And we're like, "Nope, nope, no, can't do it. Not going all out in Vegas, bro. Can't do it."
Oh my God! Virgin pina coladas are $16 a piece. God damn it!
Actually. Those were regular pina coladas. Maybe the virgins would be like 10.
Emil, is this your first time? You're 21. You're still in college. Is this your first time in Vegas?
First time in Vegas as a 21-year-old, which is good that it's fun to hang out with people that have already been sober now, because I'm like, this is I love doing this. I way rather do this shit.
I don't know. Though, part of me, I think, Emil, you need to freaking throw up in an alley and wake up bloody once.
I know. I miss drinking so much, and I wish that I still could be – I would kill to be young again and just be able to tie one – like, just getting drunk and feeling, like, invincible in this stupid environment. Like, all these people feel so good about themselves because they're drunk. I mean, they'll feel terrible tomorrow, so that won't be worth it. But, like, it's just – it used to be so fun to get fucked up in Vegas with your friends. It was so fun. Yeah, me and my friends came out here the first time when I was 20. No. It was 2005. I thought it was 25. It was 2005, so I was 21. And we came out here for Dave Attell, Dane Cook, Greg Giraldo. They were taping the Insomniac Tour special for Comedy Central. And we came out just to watch as fans. And we got selected to sit in the front two rows as seat fillers because they needed them for the TV taping. Then we got invited to the after party where I met Dane Cook, who was my hero at the time, and he was really nice to me and gave me a lot of advice. And then Dave Attell and then Greg Giraldo, I sat at a table with him for like hours, but I was so blackout drunk. He gave me all this advice. I remember he didn't try to fuck me. He wasn't being creepy. He was just nice. And I don't remember a single word we talked about except all of those things, because my friend, we talked about it the next day. And a creepy vibe remains with me from a guy, even if I don't remember the conversation or not. But I'm so mad. I was blackout drunk. What?
I remember what he said to you. He said, forget TV. Just do your own platform. Start a podcast. I remember he said that.
Yeah, in 2005. He knew. He knew. Greg Giraldo knew. No, he was really nice to me. And we talked for like a couple. I felt like it was like 2 hours at this booth. At this after party, and he was so nice, and he was newly sober, and we were talking about that. I don't even remember. Anyway, it was meaningful at the time, but then I woke up the next day and I was so mad at myself that I couldn't remember meeting one of my ultimate heroes and hanging out with him because I was stupid and blackout drunk. But then later on, I sobered up because we ended up hanging out with Dave Attell all night, me and my friend Kat. We left that party and went with Dave Attell. And then Dave kind of realized that we were just like annoying and not gonna fuck him. Which, I mean, like, he's entitled to, like, want to bang whoever he's hanging out with. And he was hanging out with all these hot chicks, and we were just, like, along for the ride. And so he was very nice to us, but he sent us away with a bottle of Jaeger and was like, girls, just leave. We were in his suite, and he was like, take this, girls. And we left at 4 a.m. We had a bottle of Jaeger. We tried to go buy some pot from a guy that said he was going to – we just walked up to a guy. My friend, like, made this all happen. And we gave him $50, and he was like, I'll meet you over here and give you the weed. And he handed us a pack of cigarettes that was supposed to have weed in it, and it was just empty. And before we could chase him down, he ran away. And so then we were out $50, and we were so sad, and we wanted weed, and we were sitting on a bench outside of New York, which is where we were staying. We were so sad. The sun was coming up, and these drunk guys came walking up to the hotel from their night out, random dudes, and they were just like, ladies, what's going on? You know, like classic Vegas greeting. And we were like, we just got $50 stolen from us. We were trying to buy weed. And they were like, can we get a kiss? And we were like, no.
And then they were like, we were like, do you want this Jaeger? We don't want it. And then my friend, I think one of us offered it. And I go, no, $50. And they were like, yeah. And so they gave us $50, kissed us on the cheek. And then we got our money back and got rid of the Jaeger that we didn't even want.
At what point in the story did you guys both then fuck Andrew in the hotel room?
Okay. Well, yeah, we took a, we tried a new career in the middle of the night. We were like, let's just be prostitutes.
Wait, take your glasses off. Holy.
That was you?
That was us?
Oh, jackpot! I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we just did. Probably not. Let's go into Tuesday's show.
All over my face.
Oh, my God. Tuesday's show was, God, who was in? 1 second. Oh, I looked it up. It was Mateo Lane and Emmy Blotnick. And oh my God, we were going over new jokes that Mateo and Emily had seen each other perform the night before, and they were just like telling each other how funny they were. Here's Emmy Blotnick and Mateo Lane in studio on Tuesday.
Okay, I had a real, oh boy. I went to a wedding last weekend that was in the desert, and it was like camping. Like everybody had to go rough it for this wedding.
Oh, I
and
hope they don't last.
Oh my God.
I really hope it fails.
It's a real stress test of a friendship to we're sleeping in
and
teepees.
They probably won't. I mean, most things don't. It's, but I'm sure they're a lovely couple.
They're just wonderful, but God, 100-degree teepee in the
no,
desert.
No.
So
come
I had
to my
to talk
fire
about
festival
it.
Wedding.
It, that's exactly your God. You're cheating off my notes, Mateo. Yeah,
was it that what you said?
It's a fire festival.
That's
fire
hilarious.
It was just, it was so, I am too Jewish to do this. It doesn't.
Did you go with your boyfriend?
Yeah. And he was like, he reserved a hotel room. And I was like, we're all supposed to stay in the teepees. And he was like, if you say so. And the whole time he was like, you did this.
Yeah.
You did this to us.
No, that's where I pull out like my Italian aunts and I'm like, we're staying in a hotel.
That's the way to do it. I should have been. The teepees are wonderful for Instagram. You know, you come out of the teepee and take one picture, and then you sleep in a hotel.
Yes.
Do you say that on stage? Like, I'm Jewish. We don't.
Yes.
This isn't
that's great.
Something
my
we...
ancestors worked very hard so I wouldn't have to sleep in the desert or in camps. And it's, oh boy, it was just so insane. So I was trying to get everything together last night because I had all this like simmering
new material
teepee rage.
Yeah.
I was writing a bit about weddings too. I'm not making a joke this weekend. Writing bits about weddings. That's
what,
so funny.
What are you exploring?
My
with
bit is
I
that,
love working out new jokes.
Well, I just think it's like, I was trying to think of like, because I have this joke about Queer Eye and my take on Queer Eye. So I was trying to think about like weddings too. And I was like, weddings are like gays' way of like, that's our secret revenge against straight people. Because like, we, you know, we're always getting punched and called a faggot. I'm like, yeah, guess who's going to be the faggot when you're paying $400 for a white flower at your wedding? Like, bitch, we'll get you. Don't just you wait.
Yeah.
Like, we jack up prices and add shit
hilarious.
You don't need just so we watch straight people spend all their money and then we just file our nails like got them something like that. And another thing too, I was thought this would be funny with like women who are bridesmaids are always complaining. They're like, oh, for 6 months I have to be her, I have to be there every day, she's calling me and crying, I have to tell her she looks good, I have to go shopping. Like, bitch, I've been a bridesmaid for life, like I don't want to hear about it.
Oh my God.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. I've been re-exploring a bit about how I don't want to get married, but I do want to be engaged forever.
Oh, that's
forever and ever.
Yeah.
Because is there anything better than the engaged part? First of all, you get the big display of affection that he gets down on one knee. People go, oh my God, what's happening? You get the pictures, you get the surprise. So you get that, which is like probably the epitome of all of this.
Right.
Right? It doesn't get better than that.
Right.
Then you get the ring. So you get a ring, right? Which men don't have to wear because why? Why don't men have to wear a ring when they're engaged?
Don't men get engagement rings?
No. It's they get
the
to be.
Band.
They're still open. Yeah. They're still looking.
Well,
they're
goes,
not sold on it, but you're taken.
Well, because marriage used to be about, I don't know if you want to add this in, marriage
sure.
was all about
property.
Property.
Yeah. I know.
That's what it is.
I know. So you
it's
get
like a
engaged.
Nice way of being like, I own you.
I know. It really is. And they don't have to wear, it's just weird to me. So then you get a ring and you get people being excited. No, everyone's excited when you're like, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
If you find out someone's engaged, you go, oh. What do you, when you find out someone's married, what do you say?
You say
like, you're
oh.
dead. You're basically dead.
Yeah. You just go, sorry, or cool. Like, no one cares, but being engaged, there is this enthusiasm anywhere you take that information. If you talk about your fiance, people are like, oh my gosh, this fiance, when did that happen? But
even how you say when you're engaged, when you tell someone you're engaged versus you're married, there's a big difference. When you
huge.
say,
we're engaged. You're excited. When you say you're married, there's always like, you can feel them prepping. I'm married.
Yes.
Oh, that face. It's a very, if I could describe this, it's all the muscles around the mouth turning downwards at the same time. It's 42 muscles heading downwards.
Being married is perpetual the day after your birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being engaged is perpetual the day before your birthday.
That's a perfect fucking way to describe it.
And your wedding is your birthday. But like, wouldn't you want to live in a world it's the day before your birthday than a world where it's the day after your birthday?
Right.
And you're chosen. Someone wants to marry you, so you get to be like, listen, someone wants to spend their life with me. It's probably going to happen. And but you don't have to actually go through with it. And if you want to break up, there's no, you just could give a ring back. You don't have to involve a lawyer. That's the thing. I don't want to get married because I never want to have a personal relationship with a lawyer.
I guess you're right. Engagements don't have lawyers involved.
No. And if you want, the only way to assure that you will not get divorced is to never get married. That is the only way.
That was Tuesday's show. Also on Tuesday's show, very exciting. As I was walking into the building, I ran into no other than hip hop R&B star Nelly, who's from The Lou, and he's proud. Do you know Nelly?
Yeah, Nelly. Grills, right?
Does he do grills?
Grills.
What about that song?
What about what song?
Because it's all in my head. I think about it
over and over again.
I think about
it. Yeah, him and Tim McGraw. They did a duet, which I don't think either one of them would sign off on that word. But they did do a duet together. It was one of my favorite Nelly songs, actually.
By the way,
that was before Old Town Road.
That's a good point. Wow.
That was a rap country song. They kept it on the country charts.
Right.
Yeah, but had a white guy.
But you add a white guy and it's fine.
Yeah, you add Tim McGraw, you add Billy Ray Cyrus. Now it's country, but just black. Like if Nelly just sang that song.
You're right. Well, that's fucked up. We can't even get into the politics of that, but that is kind of fucked up, dude. I don't like it. I do love Nelly though, and I'm from St. Louis, and Nelly became famous my senior year of high school, and so it was just like a great time. It was like Hot in Here was our anthem, our senior year anthem. I mean, and he was so hot in here. Oh. Like, it was just so good. And then he referenced, like really, in-depth St. Louis things that you would only know if you were from the Lou and you're proud. So he just represented your hometown so well in such a caring way. He talked about St. Louis all the time. Like, imagine the person from your hometown who makes it big ends up talking about your, like, that doesn't happen a lot. People from Sacramento don't go on to like act in shows about Sacramento and talk about Sacramento. Like, Nelly was all St. Louis. He put us on the map. It was big. So
Don't you feel though there's a great marketing tool in the, you're now relating yourself to a whole fucking city.
So you have them backing you, but you also risk alienating the rest of the country who doesn't give a fuck about the 16th most populous city in America.
True, but I don't know. It's still the 16th. It's still a big city. I don't know. It gives you more than just.
Okay, well then why don't you do that, old Port St. Louis, Lucy?
That's what I'm saying. Port St. Louis is 1,500 or 15,000 biggest. I'm saying I can't do it. Whenever you talk about small towns, you gotta be like, it's a small town road next to the creek. Like, you can't be that specific because there's nothing down.
Yeah, no one cares. But you can relate to everyone else in small towns because small towns together rally as one small town.
Yes, and becomes one big city.
Andrew had a great point earlier. Andrew, by the way, has a new podcast that's starting next Tuesday called The Puddle Podcast with Andrew Collin. So check that out. We'll have all the information, but you can follow him on Instagram at Andrew T. Collin for info. He has a new podcast, but he reclaimed the name Puddle Boy, which was something that he dumped probably 6 months ago. And had adopted maybe 4 months previous to that. So he was Puddle Boy for a little bit of a stretch. And then he just dumped it in the middle of the night. Like, he wiped his whole Instagram clean and was like, I'm no longer Puddle Boy. And then he starts a podcast and he gets the name back, which I'm all for. I've always been for Puddle Boy, I think. I was kind of the person to get Puddle Boy. I was part of the Puddle Boy process. Mm-hmm. Puddle Boy started because Andrew had done a podcast. One of the girls that listened to a podcast... listened to his podcast commented that he made her puddle in her pants, and I said, Andrew, it's because she peed, because he was like, wow, I'm pretty hot, I made her puddle. And I go, it's you made her laugh so hard she peed. And then he read back her comment to me, and no, it was confirmed that she was turned on by what Andrew was saying and said she puddled in her pants. So that's how he became Puddle Boy. And now you're Puddle Boy again, and one of your friends gave you some shit about it, right?
Yes, one of my friends who has a TV show, who, I don't know, can
yeah,
we, yeah, Rami, gave me shit about.
Rami Youssef has a TV show, Rami, on Hulu, and he has a new special out. You should check out on HBO called Feelings. But Rami texted you and goes, what's with this puddle boy?
Yeah, he goes, what's with this puddle boy shit? And I was like, we can't all have a cool, unique name. I was like, what if your TV show, which is called Rami, was just Andrew? No one would, or Beth. Stephanie. No one would fucking watch that.
Yeah, that's a good
Puddle
point.
Boy, I need an extra thing. Also, people are like, how could you be Puddle Boy? Like, aren't you a stand-up comic? Don't you take this seriously? Like, I feel like people feel that way. Like,
I felt that way a little bit.
Like, you can't have an alias as stand-up. But, dude, it's obviously, I could be Puddle Boy on...
You can be anything you want. It doesn't matter. There's no rules to this game, and that's a great point.
Also, rappers all day long. Logic, Machine Gun Kelly, Big Papa. I mean, why do rappers get to have it, and then they're still very taken seriously as lyricists, but a comic can't be taken seriously by doing comedy by having... Yeah. Also, how many comics have fake stage names?
Okay. Well, prove your point. I'm on your side.
Is Dave Attell really even named Dave?
Who knows? Now, Emil Joachim, I'm also with him here. He's the host this weekend. Emil Joachim is a great name. EmilWakim, if you want to follow him on Instagram. Have you ever thought about changing your name or doing anything with your name?
No, it's weird enough as it is. Like, it's too short to nickname it also. But also, Andrew left out that he got criticism for Puddle Boy, and then he goes, oh, okay, I'll change it. And he changed it to Ticklecock.
Great point, Emil. He changed Puddle Boy to Ticklecock.
So not true. I just changed my middle name to Ticklecock. So it's Andrew Ticklecock Colin, a.k.a. Puddle Boy, a.k.a. Poop Hands, a.k.a. Dry Dick Jackpot.
Oh my god. Did you hear how that just rolled off the tongue? You guys, we got a nipple. We got a live nipple. There's a woman and her nipple is legit hanging out of her swimsuit. Full nipple. But it's like there's a mesh on top of the cleavage. No. Do not tell her. He just goes, should I tell her? Do not tell her.
It's funny, like, you kind of hope to see nipple when you see like boob cleavage, but then you do see the nipple and you're like, I kind of didn't want to see that. Like, I almost wish I did.
I want her to fix it because I feel like she doesn't know. Like, doesn't what should know. I? She has so no idea. You guys, she has no idea. Okay, watch. It's going to happen. So this girl is sipping water. She's a busty gal and she's wearing a black swimsuit that's a one piece, but on the top, you know, where it like cuts across? Where it cuts across, there's like mesh on top of it, and her nipple is very dark, so you can see it clearly through the black mesh. And her friend's coming back. I don't think her friend's coming back.
I thought her friend was coming back.
Well, we'll keep you updated on Nipplegate here at the Link Hotel poolside. But let's get into the clip where I talk about Nelly. Now, I teased this because in my post the other day, I posted on Instagram that Nelly, I got to talk louder because the music's being turned up, you guys. It's getting turned up in here. When Nelly was on the podcast, or when I talked about Nelly on my Instagram, I said that I told the embarrassing story of what I said when I met him, and I couldn't even share the most embarrassing moment on my Instagram. So in this segment, you hear the most embarrassing moment, and we'll come back, and it won't be so loud. Jackpot.
I walked up to Nelly, and I was just like, I go, Nelly, and he was like, yeah, and I was like, hi, I'm a big, huge fan, because I really am. And I go, I'm from St. Louis. Thank you for everything you've done for our community. I said community? I was trying to make it sound like...
Are you like on the board of the St. Louis community public? Like you're sitting there figuring out how much money goes to the arts and crafts, like local theater?
Our community.
Our
Thank
community.
Thank you for planting all those trees, Nelly.
He must have really been confused because he was like, community? Like, I could see, like, if you went to, like Gloria Steinem, you're like, thank you for our community. Yeah. Like, you're talking about feminism and women or gays. Like,
oh, yeah.
But you, like, just walked up as a white woman and were like, thank you for our community.
With my Starbucks cup.
He's like, maybe she works for Band-Aids.
Oh, and then so I tried funny. To, like, I was like, can I get a selfie? I go, I'm talent, so I know how annoying this is. I had to, like, give him that because I wanted him to know, like, I know this is not okay. And I was actually saying that for his, like, people around him because I knew they were going to be like, get her away. And
but
I'm
how
like,
many of them
listen,
are actually...
I know talent. I know what talent can handle.
Sometimes I'm that.
You turned into your own PR woman. You just walked up. You're like, listen, I know how this works. I run this town. Oh. Thank you for what you've done for our community. Photo, you, now
oh
light.
My God. Listen, Nelly, I was very lonely for all the years you were famous.
You saved me.
We're back. That was... Tuesday's show. This brings us into Wednesday's show. We are now away from the pool. We're like on the 7th floor. We went in the wrong elevator and we got stuck on a floor. So now we're in a quiet floor. It smells like cigarette smoke in this
casinos so badly. Does this affect you, Emil, as someone who's never smoked before?
It makes me want to smoke more because I only see the coolness of it, and I'm like, fuck, I should have done it.
Yeah, people look so cool when they're breathing in cigarette smoke in casinos.
It's like they don't give a shit. I'm like, fuck, yeah. They're just like dying. They're losing money, and then they're like also dying slowly. I'm like, that's...
I asked you just about the air, and you were talking about actual smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, for sure. The, yeah. The act of it.
The act of smoking a cigarette looks cool. Yeah, you got me these little weed cigarettes that look like... Emil always brings me weed when he opens for me. It's like one of the nicest things that, you know, I'd really love from all of my openers. But, you know, sometimes you bring a guy on the road and he doesn't really get you any presents ever when he comes to open for you.
My back is broken carrying you.
Okay.
By you, I meant luggage.
My luggage? You have one bag to carry. It's not that big. You always complain. It's usually actually the lightest of the two bags because I pack the smaller one, which I'm given because it's smaller in shape, but it's actually heavier because
no.
I...
Dude, it's equal.
It's equal. Because yesterday, my luggage added up to 84 pounds, and my biggest suitcase, which was yours, was 48 because I put it on first. So what's 84 minus 48?
36.
So, right? No. Wait, I don't know. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I don't like math. I don't want to do it, and I just put myself in a... Okay, we're about to find out.
Oh,
yeah, 36.
Shit.
So you're carrying 12 more pounds than me. Okay. Well, I guess that's something.
Not to mention I'm 100 pounds heavier than you.
No, you're not.
I'm 70 pounds heavier than you.
What do you weigh?
190.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, so you've got a lot to carry around. And you're shorter than me. How does that feel?
We're the same exact height.
Okay. Well, that technically as a man, shorter.
Actually,
if you're the same as a woman, you get to round down because you should be taller than a woman, so shorter.
Yeah, but you're 5 years.
I'm just being a bitch right now. Short guys listening, don't be mad at me.
No, you're 5 years younger than me. You're shrinking every day. I've already shrunk. I'm 5 years ahead of you.
You're gonna shrink too.
I know, but I'm saying you're gonna be shorter than me before we die.
No, I won't.
Maybe.
No, that's not how any of this works. Yeah. We got to get to the last podcast segment, which was with Karen Feehan and Andrew Collin. It was me talking about birds.
Birds, jackpot.
So Merles. I pulled up the pet finder. I'm swiping on this bird and I found a bird.
Also, there's a bird pet finder too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can search for any animal on it. It's pet finder, not dog finder. And so I searched bird in my area. There's no fucking birds in my area.
Interesting.
But there's only this many birds, like of cockatiel. There's only six cockatiels
One's
available.
One's a drawing.
And one literally is a drawing.
It's $400, has all its shots. It's up to date.
But I met this girl. I see this girl, Stella.
Failed
and I'm
artist.
Reading about this cockatiel named Stella. She's small, young, and female, which cute. Prefers a home without small children. That's great. My foster mom says I am a very calm, quiet little bird. I like to look out the window, preen, and eat, and I am pretty content to just do my own thing. I do occasionally play with toys, especially straw ones or the kind you can shred. I am currently eating nice blah, 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 blah. Right now, I will occasionally step up. That's when you put your finger on their belly and they step up. But I am still nervous around hands and do not enjoy being pet. But since I am young, I may come around with enough time and patience. That's when I started sobbing because I realized this bird is me.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that.
And I was like, I need to get this bird and we both need to teach each other to love. And it just made sense. And I started sobbing and I was like, Stella is me. And then I looked and she lives in Florida. And I just don't know how I'm supposed to... If you know of a way to transport a bird, if you have any experience transporting birds or like how that
with
process
another
would be.
You just see what Mike Tyson did with his pigeons.
What do you mean?
He trains them to fly. He used to train.
Well, I gotta
pigeons.
Go to Florida and train this thing.
Put
before
it on a drone.
Just,
put it on a drone.
Call them and whistle and be like, Stella, this is Nikki's whistle, and then whistle. And
yeah, go outside.
Karen, I feel
and
like
whistle.
You're just being you're being sarcastic.
I
really want an option.
They
Where's
fly.
Palm Harbor?
Palm Harbor? Oh, it's
is that near
south.
Miami? We're going to Miami. I might go see this bird.
Yeah,
I'm might go sure, see a man about a bird.
I guarantee there's a ton of birds in Miami.
Like,
I know,
just give
but
it a
I'm
Benadryl
attached to Stella now.
Put it on a plane, right?
That's a Benadryl for, I mean...
Like a half of one.
What
but
about
the thing
it,
about
put
flying
it on another
with birds
bird.
Is that you have to get TSA approval. You have to, like, yeah. putting it on another bird. Okay,
yeah.
These aren't real options.
No. I'm
yeah,
just
that, he was
throwing crazy. Ideas, though.
So then I went inside, and I was... and then, so the birds came back, the little birds on the branch, and I was talking to them. And I was like, this is all coming together. I'm getting a bird. This is going to happen.
Just put that bird
and
in
I
your
go,
house.
I want these birds to, like, come over to me. And I was like, oh, I'll just feed them. Like, yeah. why yeah. wouldn't I go get some... So I go inside, I've never even thought that. I'm always like, if Andrew, you've been with me where I see little birds,
I'm just
and I'm like,
you as
bird. I always want birds to talk to me, and they always go away, right?
But I see you in 6 months being in a park with bird shit all over
Dude,
you.
That
with
is
50
I'm
fucking
not kidding
birds.
You. This is how it
and
happens.
And that guy, yeah, I can see it.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah. So I go inside and I go, oh, I have some crackers. So I got some crackers, and I went back out on my balcony, and I put them down, and the birds are not coming over. And I was like, this is how it starts. This, at some point, a woman who is the bird woman in the park had to go inside and go, oh, I've been yearning for these birds to talk to me. How do I get them?
She probably
food.
Went on Pet Finder. She realized there are none in the area.
I am a bird lady.
Yeah.
I realized that I'm going to be a bird lady in the park. As soon as I really get haggard and like no one wants to fuck me, birds all the time
You're there.
In the park.
You're there.
I'm not there yet.
I promise.
I still, I get spray tans, Andrew. I'm still trying to
get it. No, you're almost there. You're
but I was like, oh my God, this is it. I just had a, I started laughing because I was like,
it's so
funny. Then I had a realtor showing my place and I had to leave. And I realized he was going to walk out on the balcony at one point and show them the balcony. And they were just bird. I mean, there's crumbs everywhere. So either I'm the messiest eater or there's a woman trying to become a bird lady who failed. The birds
failed
didn't even
bird.
Come.
I think you're going
to I can't
do
get
it.
A bird to talk to me.
Because those
I think
are the wrong birds.
Like it. I think I'm picturing you bringing
this
a dude.
This is a metaphor for my life.
But those are the wrong birds. You're searching. You're trying to get like a tree bird. You need
that's,
a pigeon bird.
And that's my problem with men too.
Yeah,
I'm going
you're
after
trying
the
to
wrong
get a tree.
Men.
Yeah, you're trying to get a.
What were you saying, what, Karen?
I'm picturing you bringing a dude home and birds just dive bombing.
I love it.
And you're like, these are my birds. I love Karen, them very much.
That's the podcast this week, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm coming to you live from Las Vegas. I hope you come see me tonight and tomorrow and Sunday at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club at Caesars. And then next week I'm going to be, I'm going to be in Los Angeles all week, but the week after that, Miami Improv, go get tickets there, Friday and Saturday shows. I hope to see you there. I'm on tour all the time. Check out all those dates. Jackpot, spread the jackpot love. I'm about to get into an elevator. I think, never mind, those people just ran away from us. I was at an elevator bank and definitely talking too loud, and the people next to me did not care for it and just decided to go back to their hotel room, I guess. I don't understand why casinos have to be, like, you can smoke inside. I feel like I'm getting sick. I'm annoyed by it. Can we get some legislation on that, please? I mean, I guess we've got bigger fish to fry out in this world than that, but hope you guys had a good July 4th. Hope you have a good week. I hope you all try to meditate. I know I just did, and it helped me because I thought I recorded the whole intro to this podcast, and then we thought it erased. Like for a minute we thought it erased, and it didn't erase. I'm sorry, all of a sudden I'm in a really crowded lobby because the elevator came and dumped me out. But the podcast almost, I thought it erased. We taped like 25 minutes at that cabana, the stuff you heard at the top of the show. I mean, what a loss that would have been had we lost it. But we had just recorded 25 minutes, and then my phone malfunctioned, and we thought we lost it. And generally, I would just go like, oh, my God, oh, no, what the fuck? And, like, go to this place of, like, I have to do it all over again. But I just – and Andrew kind of went there. I got to be honest. Andrew kind of started freaking out. But I didn't. And I honestly – everything in me only points to meditation. That's the only reason I didn't freak out then. I was just like, oh, okay, I guess the world wants me to record another podcast. And I know that seems like, oh, you're probably just zen and you smoke a lot of pot. But that is not my nature to not care about those things. I freak out about everything. So if you're someone who overreacts about things and maybe you think it's just who you are, it doesn't have to be who you are. And meditation really helps you just go through life much easier. So I didn't mean to get all sentimental during this, but I was grateful to meditation so many times this week because I could have freaked out. And guess what? I did. I got really depressed on Tuesday. And that's another thing. If you stay to the end of the pod, you're going to get a little bit of self-motivation from good old Glazed Dog. But I was really depressed on Tuesday, super, super depressed. It came on me like a fucking thunderstorm. I talked about it on the Sirius show. But and it was after I met Nelly. I mean, I was having a great little fucking morning. Great show. Did radio on Bob and Tom before I did radio on my own show. Bob and Tom is a radio show that I was on last week. And I was feeling great. And then I got hit by a wave of depression. And what I did, because I was crying and I couldn't stop crying, I reached out to friends. And I just told them, hey, I'm feeling really depressed right now. And it wasn't me asking them to come to my apartment and rescue me or to check me into a hospital or to call. So, like, they didn't freak out. They're due as any friend did, and they said, what's going on? I texted with them about it. They asked if I wanted to talk. I didn't want to talk.
but I texted out my feelings, and just telling someone made me feel better. So if you're like me and you just get overwhelmed with sadness sometimes, and it comes on like a dark cloud, just it really helped for me to reach out to someone. And then I got out of it. And I know that you can't always get out of it, and it's not that simple, but I think I would have stayed in it much longer had I not reached out to a friend. So I just recommend that. And I hope that no one feels that way this week. But if you do, reach out to friends about anything. If you have a friend in your life, use them. Because friends are so valuable. And the more I try to find love in my life and I'm like, oh, I don't have a partner and all that bullshit and a man to love me, I'm like, you know what? I have girlfriends that are going to be my friends forever. And that's more guaranteed than some fucking dude I might marry. Truly. I feel like if we looked at the success rate of best friendships between women or men and men versus divorce rates, we'd find that friendships are more successful. So hang on to your friends, celebrate your friends, and I hope that if you have no friends that you feel like maybe I'm your friend, because I don't know you, but I'm sure you're great. If you relate to this at all, I bet we would be friends. But don't get it twisted. If you have like a mental illness that makes you think I'm talking to you, we're not friends. We don't know each other. But you get what I'm saying. You get it. Oh, look it. We're back full circle. Have a great week, you guys, and we'll see you next week on the podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends about this podcast. Get them into it. It means a lot to me. And I'll see you out there. Squirt, squirt, jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.